This is Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and your host, Michael Williams.
Hello, welcome to this edition of Table Talk with retired California Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and today's special guest, Battalion Chief Chris Childers for the Santa Barbara County Fire Department. Welcome, gentlemen, to the table.
I think we're both glad to be here, right, Chris?
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Chief Coleman, why don't you lead us off?
Good. Well, what the conversation kind of centers around today is this idea of passing things along. You know, we talked a lot about succession planning in this series. We talked about career development plans, and we talked about mentoring. That was one of the things we talked about. And then what intrigued my interest was when you showed me these articles that somebody gave you a long, long time ago. Somebody went out of their way to share some information with you. And I guess the real basic question that I have for you and the people who are in situations like you is, how important was this to the process that you underwent as you started getting promoted in the fire service? Did it help you? Did it hurt you? Did you care?
I certainly cared, and it certainly, I have to say, helped me.
Yeah.
Early on in my career, one of my captains, when I was talking about becoming a company officer, said, here's some more things you need to know. The title of the article he gave me, Being an Officer Means More Than a Title, written by Ron J. Coleman back in the early 90s. And it was a one-pager out of a magazine that I read and read again and then started to live it. And that one has to do with writing for the brand is the way I always title it, even though I don't think you ever mentioned that in there. But it's, you work for that fire department, do the job for that department, and then learn that job. And if you can't do that job, then maybe you're in the wrong profession.
So, or at least you're at the wrong rank.
And maybe you don't want that rank if it's to stand up and do it. And so that was a good lesson.
Well, we had an episode of Table Talk, Being an Officer Means More Than a Title, and we refer to it as boss or buddy. You can't be both.
Exactly.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
And it's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously one of the keys in the fire service, we're all a big fire family. So everybody's my family member, and yet now if I'm in charge either as a company officer or as now as battalion chief officer, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that because, quite frankly, I think that's the essence that we were trying to get to, is that once you take on that rank of officer, you might be close friends with somebody, but you're now responsible for them. The metaphor that we use in here a lot was, if you're going to send somebody into combat and you're going to give them orders that could cause them to suffer bodily harm, you can't be treating them like they're your best friend. You got to be treating them like they're somebody that you have some care for. Now, when you got this originally, you were a company officer?
I was a firefighter studying to be an engineer and a captain.
You're studying to become a captain. How long ago was that?
A little over 20 years ago.
Okay, well, now you're a battalion chief, and you got more people working for you. How does the idea of passing this information along, how does it fit into the game plan of being a supervisor? Do you feel compelled to do stuff like that from time to time?
I think that's a major part of the job. As I learned to become a company officer and later to become a battalion chief by following mentors that did it before me. And they did the job, taught me, and showed me the way to do the job correctly. And certainly there was bosses I learned from where I might have learned what not to do a time or two. But obviously you learn from the people that you're watching, and then you pass it on to the people that you want to bring up and replace you.
Do you keep a file and stuff like this?
I have several folders full of information I like to use. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened when I saw you were coming today, I thought, hey.
Yeah, I'll go show that.
That's the ones I used just a couple months ago, and I had to dig them out of the files.
Well, that article published first in Fire Chief Magazine in February of 1993, and it's just as applicable today in 2013 as it was 20 years ago.
Mm. And I first pulled that out when I was my first captain's meetings as a BC 10 years ago, so.
Let's talk a little bit about the common sense aspect of helping people kind of get a perspective on their job. We have no idea who's sitting out there listening to us right now, but it could be young firefighters who are nowhere near becoming a captain to senior fire officers who have been around the block a couple of times. And so what we're looking for are principles that are involved. How important is it that you as an officer take some of your hard-earned information and redistribute it to the people below you? I mean, you consider that a 10% job or a 25% job? How does it fit into the big picture of how you treat your subordinates?
Well, I hope it's a big part of the job. I don't know if I put a number on it, but it's certainly got to be a portion of what we do. I'm not thinking of retiring anytime soon, but eventually I'm going to. And what I'm seeing also is a lot of our experienced veterans from the fire department have or are about to retire. And we're losing that level of knowledge of, especially one of the big aspects of my history is the wildland component of firefighting. And we're losing a lot of our wildland guys. And the fire service in general is losing a lot of that history because as we hire more paramedics and we move away from hiring wildland firefighters, it's sort of a change in the culture. And I see that happening and hitting us more and more as we move towards the...
It's called the loss of institutional memory.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another simple solution to that that you may never heard of. We'll kind of share it with you here today. A couple of weeks ago, I was invited to go along on what they call a staff ride on Mount Tamalpais.
Uh-huh.
The concept of a staff ride is going out and looking at something that happened a long time ago. Right. By the guy that was there.
Right.
And the guy that was there in this case was named Jim Selfridge. He's a chief officer from Marin County Fire Department. It was invaluable. I mean, I'm 20 years older than Jim, and I got a lot of stuff out of it.
Good. Yeah, I did the Loop Fire Staff Ride is a real educational.
The Loop Fire?
Loop Fire Staff Ride.
Down above the
Angeles.
My first foreman was Gordon King, who was the supervisor.
The hot check crew.
And, tell me about the Loop Fire. What'd you learn?
I learned that I knew a lot about the Loop Fire before I went to the staff. I did that in the 2000s, less than 10 years ago. And so for 10 years, my first 9 years in the Forest Service, I'd heard a lot about the Loop Fire and 10 standards. And 18 situation now 18 it was 13 situations. Okay, you can see they shouldn't have done this. Then you go on the staff ride, and you stand up on that hill, and you say, "Right there's the dozers that our crew's got to tie into. This fire is not doing anything right now." And you start to put yourself in those shoes, and you say, "Wait a minute, is this possible that somebody could be this blind?" You hope not, and that's the thing you learn from a staff ride is these people were human also. And we've talked about, since on this recent vacation I just was on, a lot of my relatives wanted to know about the guys from Arizona.
The Prescott incident.
The newest Prescott. And what a nightmare that is to just the little bit of it I've learned so far. It sounds like some very good, experienced, seasoned employees did something that we're going to Monday morning quarterback for a long time, but we're not going to really know what exactly went wrong. You never can. Could this have happened? Sounds like it shouldn't have, but boy, lessons learned. And that's the kind of institutional knowledge that we need to be passing on so that we can keep that level of knowledge. We have to learn from these incidents. And one of the examples I have recently, I was heavily involved in our little Jesusita fire in 2009, burnt into Mission Canyon. Ever since I've been in this department, Mission Canyon's been one of our urban interface nightmares. It's a little county strip of land, 871 homes tucked into the chaparral and oak trees right above Foothill Road, right in the foothills. When the Jesusita fire burned into that, Sundowner winds pushed it into that community. And luckily it was the first week of May, so we didn't lose near as much damage. Didn't cause as much damage as it really could have if it had been a midsummer fire or if it had been like this weekend where we're talking Sundowner winds again. But one of the lessons learned, we go over there and we look at some of the near misses. Nobody got killed, but a near miss is a couple of guys at a structure. At 8 in the morning, they said they're not going to stay here. They're going to just do what they can, prep and go, and be ready to leave. At noon, they're saying, well, we got a pretty good escape route. We've done a little clearance. The homeowners have done some clearance. Maybe we could stay here. At 1 o'clock, the BC says, if you're going to stay, maybe you should put a couple of breathing apparatus in the structure in case you have to retreat there. Okay, I'm just following through my logic, and I go to the site, and I say, I agree they shouldn't have stayed here. But as soon as you put a breathing apparatus, a $3,000 piece of equipment, in that structure, are you leaving it there?
Mm-mm.
Honestly, we've just now, our mindset has gone from I'm not staying to now I am, right? And I can just see, I met the guys. They're nice guys. Good fire guys. They're not inexperienced rookies. But I see how that happened. They walked themselves into, the fire's not doing anything all day. The winds finally came down at 2, between 2 and 3. 3 to 4 o'clock is when that fire blew into that area. that's when they should have been leaving. Were they leaving? No, they had already committed. They put an anchor in that house.
Does that go back to your theory of normalcy bias?
Yeah, I would suggest it's normalcy bias. We get so used to doing the same thing over and over and over again, despite the fact it's dangerous to the untrained eye or to the amateur. For these guys who are career professionals, they made a judgment call that this situation is manageable. The worst that it could be is we'll go ahead and shelter in the house, which then tied them into a tactic that it defies common sense.
They themselves at 8 in the morning said, we're not staying here.
Correct.
Everybody else that saw it, we had done a class there the year before where we'd gone and toured the company officer, crew boss class, S-230. We toured the place and the instructor said, would you stay? Everybody said, no. We all knew the house. These guys, when they got there at 8 in the morning, knew the house. They looked around and said, well, we're not staying. And they did. All of a sudden, 4 hours later, the company officer and the firefighter are in the house fighting for their life as the house is totally destroyed by fire.
Well, let's kind of go back to a basic thing here, Chief, and that is this idea of passing along information. It's one thing to pass it along just by handing it out, but when we talk about the staff ride, for example, there's just a higher level of commitment. You got to kind of interact with people and so forth. What I'm really curious about is what do you think makes information powerful enough to leave an impression on people? What do we need to do? When do we need to do it to encourage people to pass information along?
Well, for us, it's a matter of just like this, discussing these incidents. And this one, obviously, I've read a lot into this. Mm-hmm. I was coming into Jesus Cita that morning because I was on the other side of the fire. And as the winds pushed my fire out of our control lines towards this Mission Canyon, we came in fire following. So we were, again, I'm on the sidetrack of this. I'll come right back to your questions.
Yeah.
But we came in fire following. So I got to come in and actually go see fire hitting structures, send people, they put these fires out. We were did nothing but good and having a good time at it and thought we were heroes. I didn't know people were getting burned over until later on, hours later, did I find out that any of this happened.
Hmm.
And so at the time, I was intimately involved in the fire. And then I thought, really? At the same time I was coming here doing this, I could have been up there maybe helping those guys. I had no idea this was happening. And so that's the knowledge. I've obviously learned it, lessons. I'm studying it, and I passed it on. The next year's refresher training, we included a field trip out to that site, and all of the Santa Barbara County firefighters for the 2010 refresher training got to stand there and say, what do you think? Would you? Of course, everybody says no. We know hindsight's 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen what happens when fire burns here. At the time, we saw. So it's a matter of, yes, we've got to get that knowledge out there. And it comes back to your original question that I just sidetracked away from. Is it important in my job, in my career, to pass that information on? Yes, it is. And my people need to be hearing it, not just from me, but from the other veterans that have seen this. Because if we don't pass that information on, then they have to learn it for themselves somehow, right?
Yep. Well, it's important that we share the experience. This is one of the big detriments of the pending onslaught of retirements, because the experienced set of eyes and ears and nose is the one that's going to tell you this situation is different from what it looks like. This is the time for you to get out. This is the time for you to get under, whatever the appropriate action is. Don't be fooled by what you're seeing and perceiving, because my experience tells me that this is about what's ready to happen. And how often have you, with your experience, particularly in the wildland, said this is time to back down? And you've been, I'm glad we did that.
And that started from people passing it on to me. I remember Mark Lanning, mm-hmm. we talked about yeah. earlier. My first hotshot superintendent standing on a hill saying, no, I don't think we want to be up there. In about 2 hours, that whole area is going to be very hot. We fought fire down here, and in 2 hours, that whole area is just as hot as he said it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And the strike team, you're saying, wow, how did you know that?
Well, those old school fire, wildland fire guys, particularly with the Forest Service, they know their terrain. They know what's going to happen. It's happened before, and it's going
to
happen
and
again.
And hopefully they've passed it on to some of us, and hopefully we're still passing it on. So that brings me full cycle, is that experience level. If we're not getting them the wildland experience from the Forest Service or from other agencies, we have to train them. And that means passing that knowledge on. And how do you do that? You got to get them out there and show them.
But that thought goes not just in the field as a battalion chief in an operations role, but all the way at the top at the fire chief's level, where you may have a personnel issue or an issue with the city manager or the city council or something like that, where experience tells you this is not your average budget meeting, or this is not my regular Friday meeting with the city manager. You just know know that you need to be better prepared or bring somebody with you or whatever the case may be. Am I correct?
Well, that's why we're talking about this in terms of the skill set. What got me intrigued in talking to you initially, Chris, was the fact that you have been engaged in this behavior for a long time. You didn't just wake up some morning and decide to start passing information along, something you've been doing for a long time. Yet there are people in our profession who don't even attempt to do it at all. It's like same old, different day, same mm-hmm. old crap, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of a stuff that goes on. And I think what we're trying to focus on here is the people who are listening to this radio show right now ought to be contemplating what it is that they should be passing along. What kind of stories? I'm not talking about war stories. Did you ever notice anything about the fact that fire service war stories, the more often they're told, the more heroic people become over time?
Yes, yes.
It's like fishing. Yeah. The fish keeps getting bigger.
I know, yeah. That fish that you caught in 1990 was huge now, right?
Yeah.
At the time, he might not have weighed anything.
It broke the pole.
I hear you. No, and that's true. But at least we're telling the story is being told. I'm. That's better than not telling the story, I guess, I believe.
I think you're right. Now, what we started talking about this is we talked about content material, we talked about staff rides. There are a lot of other mechanisms that you can use to extend institutional memory. Among them are some techniques sometimes where you take people and kind of have them simulate the experience or go through that experience or whatever. Now, you're a battalion chief and you're working fire suppression. And you know, and I know that it's getting to be very, very difficult to get people's attention. It's real easy for something to just slide by, you know, whatever the case may be. What is it about passing along information that we need to do to make it relevant? What is it that makes this something that people remember?
Well, I had two thoughts there. Let me get to the minor one first, and then I'll try and address the bigger picture. My personnel director, our human resource lady, had a quote she picked out of an EPR recently.
What's it say?
She said, he has an excellent carousel of slides of work experience.
Yeah.
A good slide carousel of work experience, which goes back to that slides in our
right.
carousel of
right.
what we have experienced and we need to pass that knowledge on. Yeah. And then we joked about it, is today's new firefighter, does he even know what a slide carousel is?
No.
So suddenly our terminology is so archaic. Now, when you're talking about how we get the new guy to learn, I can hand out this article that's 20 years old, and my captains can still read it, but do you think the brand new firefighter, who's everything's digital and it's on his little iPad phone thing,
mm-hmm.
he's not buying the Xeroxing copies of this article for me. He wants to see it here, right?
Yep.
And that's the technology. I mean, we have to, us old salts, have to figure out how to get that knowledge across.
Well, that's part of why we're doing Table Talk,
yeah.
is that we know that that's occurring, and more people are going to audio into ebooks and other various electronic formats. So we're trying to take the chief's clipboard, for example, and put that into audio so that people can listen to these things and break it down into manageable components. Mm-hmm. You're not listening to an 8-hour lecture. You're listening to 20 minutes.
Yeah, I like it. And I think that... What a valuable mind to pick, too. You did well, Mike.
Well, the other issue is that we're able to bring the experts that have been there, they've done that, they've been it for real, and for a lot of the folks that listen to this, they don't have access to that. They're in rural parts of the country. They're in small little mom-and-pop apartments. They don't have access to people that have been through the Hayes seat of fires. And it's one thing to read the green sheet of Hayes' seat. It's a whole different story to either A, be standing in that driveway up there, or talking to the people that were sheltered in that house, or the people that were responsible for the people that were sheltered in that house. Everybody has their own unique perspective.
Exactly.
And depending on where you are within the fire service, you need to know, but it behooves you to know what the perspective is of everybody else, and why maybe somebody would take exception to you using SCBA inside a house during a wildland fire. You know,
mm-hmm.
why would that be? And what were the aftermath questions that poor engine crew was subjected to by the training constabulary? They wanted to know what they were. Show me where in wildland fire training it says to do this.
Okay. But at the same time, for a while there, now obviously people are backing away from it. For a while there, that was something that
sure.
was thought of. And certainly, if you're going to take refuge in a structure that might later become a structure fire, you're not in a structure on fire unless you have an apparatus on, right? Breathing apparatus on. So it made sense. But boy, as soon as I walked it with them and saw what they had done, that you see how you...
Yeah, the example that I like to use is algebra. You can have, mathematically, you can go through and then do the multiplication and division stuff and come up with correct answers, but the algebraic answer is still wrong. You have to work it in the right order. And so that is a situation where everybody had the right little pieces, but they didn't work it out the correct way. And those were responsible, highly trained, squared away guys. We're not talking about newbies. Right. We're talking about people that knew what they were doing.
Well, going back to the theme of passing things along, the fire service is probably one of the occupations, maybe along of law enforcement and the military, that lives on a concept called oral history, traditional stories. How many times have you sat around a dining room table and heard a story about something that happened 100 years ago or 50 years ago or 75 years ago? And what we're talking about here is a little bit more institutionalized than that. Telling war stories or fun and games is not as valuable in the long run as telling a institutional story that teaches a lesson. And so I think you would agree with me, at least I hope you will, that when we pass this stuff along, there has to be a lesson attached to it. It's not a laugh. It's not humor. There's something to get out of this. I mean, you agree with that assumption?
I definitely agree with that, yeah. Okay. And that, the humor, I think, is one of the tools that we use, and I tend to use it when I teach.
We all do, yeah.
Because it helps them hear and maybe not sleep through my class or my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But the point isn't to take the joke out of it. The point is to learn something.
To put the lesson in.
With the lesson, yeah.
I think one of the lessons that I see when I listen to these after-action events in particular is, in public safety, law enforcement, fire, whatever, we tend to take a course of action. We show up, we see what's going on, we make an assessment, and we engage. We're very reluctant to change our tactics once we've engaged. We say, I'm going to go over and I'm going to go do this, this, and this. And we start doing it. And the back of our mind's telling us, this probably isn't the smartest thing to do. Or you get all the way over there and you realize, you know, I'm too far from my vehicle, or my radio's in the front, or, you know, whatever it is. And you realize that you really should stop and regroup and start over. But we don't do that. So our inner sanctum is working for us, generally fairly effectively, and we start fighting our own better judgment. And I think that gets us in trouble more often than not. But we skate by, and that's where we build up our heroes and the war stories that we're talking about. The difference between coming home in one piece and coming home deceased is often just that little piece, and we get
99 times out of 100, we survive our mistakes.
I mean, how many times have we given medals and proclamations to people that have violated policy or done things that could have caused them to be killed or injured?
There are three programs that we should probably talk about very, very briefly here, and they are institutional programs that are in many ways consistent with the story we're telling. One of them is called the Green Sheet. And the Green Sheet is a document that's put out after an accident associated with certain firefighting agencies. And there's lessons to be learned out of those Green Sheets.
Mm-hmm.
The second is the idea of the near-miss reporting system that's sponsored by the International Association of Fire Chiefs. Unfortunately, that program was started off with a grant and then has subsequently gotten to be less funded, but it's still alive today. Okay. And then the third are the line-of-duty deaths documents that come out of the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. In your capacity as a chief officer, have you ever used any of those tools to share stuff?
Certainly the Green Sheet is, since that's a California-based entity, we pass Green Sheets on as soon as we get them. And as a contract county, we're intimate with CAL FIRE.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see that quite a bit. Some of the other reports I've looked at, especially when it's a relevant or an incident that we can bring home and learn from, but certainly the Green Sheets are valuable. And that's a good starting place. My studies and our prep and our refresher training dealing with the Hazardous Heat started with the Green Sheets.
I think in summary, one of the things I'd like to point out is that passing along of knowledge is in a way is kind of like the old-fashioned method that we used to have in society, where the senior citizens used to sit around and tell war stories, and the younger individuals would sit and listen to those stories. It's called oral traditions. It's different than going to a drill. It's different than going to a training session. It's different than taking a community college class. What it is packaging up of information and passing it along like in bite-sized chunks. You obviously are a person who believes in that, or you wouldn't have approached me with those two articles.
Exactly. I have used, yes, and that's I've learned from good people that taught me, and the way they taught me was they either beat it into me or gave it to me informatively so I could receive it properly, and then they take me out on the hills and showed me it, so I've had some of that, and now that's time to pass that on, and I hope that's what we're doing.
Well, we've come to the conclusion of this episode of Table Talk. Chief Coleman, any last closing thoughts?
Well, I'm only sitting here thinking that we need to prize this process a lot more than we do. We need to put more focus on this process than we currently do. Right now, I think that passing along of information is kind of up to individuals that either choose to do it or are aware of it. Maybe it needs to be a little bit more structured or whatever. But I can't help but believe that as we move forward with firefighter safety as being a number one issue, that this may do more to reduce the number of firefighters killed and injured in the line of duty than all of the protective equipment we wrap people in, because it teaches them how to use their head to stay out of trouble.
Right, exactly.
Well, Chief Childers, any closing thoughts or comments?
Thanks for letting me sit in and enjoy it.
Thank you, and thank you for letting us use your facility here at Station 11 at Santa Barbara County Fire Department. That your crew has been fantastic in helping us out on this production.
Thanks. I'm glad I could help.
That brings us to the end of this episode of Table Talk with former State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and our guest today, Battalion Chief Chris Childers with Santa Barbara County Fire Department. Until next time, this is your host, Michael Williams, reminding you, let's be safe out there.
This has been Table Talk with Ronald J. Coleman and Michael S. Williams, produced and distributed by the Fire Services Training Institute. Production assistance by Mark A. Ward. Special thanks to Chief Michael Dyer and the Santa Barbara County Fire Department. Remember, train like your life depends on it, because it does. Table Talk programming is intended for personal and organizational use only. Any duplication or commercial use is prohibited.